Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, over the weekend, 2,000 mules from Dinesh D'Souza dropped late Saturday night, and everybody's talking about 2,000 mules. What is 2,000 mules? Well, it's a movie that asks, did the New World Order elites that run Washington actually pull off the greatest voter fraud in American history? That's the question, and we're going to try and answer that for you today. The mule is a paid cutout, a criminal delivery man. The stooge found at the intersection where election cheating and double dealing hit the road. The mule is the crook who physically takes a sack of ballots provided by shady NGOs and political machines, the community activist organizations made famous by former President Barack Obama, and they act like some nefarious Johnny Appleseed dumping those ballots in collection boxes throughout a voting district. Do enough of this, says Dinesh D'Souza, and you will have planted voter fraud across a nation. Welcome to 2,000 Mules. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the new movie 2,000 Mules from Dinesh D'Souza just dropped, and it's already causing a massive stir. Is it possible that the 2020 presidential election was stolen? Oh, you better believe it was. But it happened on a variety of levels that might be a little bit difficult to ascertain. Did you know that Mark Zuckerberg spent nearly $500 million to influence the main election counties across America, and it turned out to be exactly the same counties where the so-called fraud took place? Well, he did that, and we're going to talk about that today. 2020 was the year that changed everything. The year that the whole world was locked down. The year that heralded the start of the New World Order within a gain-of-function virus and nanoparticle non-vaccine vaccinations. In the midst of all this craziness, we have 2,000 mules dumping ballots into collection boxes, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're glad you're here on this Prophecy News Podcast as we uncover the truth of the 2020 election and a whole lot more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. We thank you for putting clothes on our back and food on the table and a roof over our head. We thank you, God, for the great fellowship that we had yesterday for our Mother's Day service. And we just pray, Lord, again today that you would meet with us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Lulu says, please pray for John Henry. He's in the hospital. His pain is unbearable. Phineas C., please pray for Elon Musk's salvation. Amen. Diane R. says, prayers for my unsaved loved ones. Phineas C. also says, please remember to pray for the Philippines. The next administration might be more bloody than the two Aquinos and the former Marcos combined. Jeanette says, please pray for Lois Falls' husband, Joe. He had a stroke on Friday. He is in and out. He is waiting for Jesus to take him home and wants to be in heaven. We are also still praying for Robert Phillips. And I'm still waiting for an update on Robert Phillips from Craig. But I think he's okay. I think he's recovering nicely. But please pray for Robert Phillips for a full recovery from his recent stroke from 2 weeks ago, as well as his salvation. And Lori Ann has an unspoken prayer request today, and she sure would appreciate it if you would keep her and her family in your prayers today. So, Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you to meet with us once again. We don't want to do any broadcasts without you, Lord. I don't care about clicks and likes. I don't care about what's trending on Twitter. I care about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen again on the third day, according to the scriptures. I care about lost people getting saved. I care about saved people getting on fire for God. You can take all the trending topics and the likes and the clicks, and you can take them. You can throw them into the burning pit of hell for all I care. When you tune in here, we're lifting up Jesus Christ. We're looking at the news of the day, absolutely. The Apostle Paul was called to testify before kings. You read about that in Acts 9 and Acts 26. That's politics. And we're not afraid to talk about politics, but when all is said and done, we're praying and talking and lifting up our Savior, Jesus Christ. Rapture 57 says, please pray for me. Ron Wooter is asking, is Lori Ann sick? No, she's not sick. She is just waiting to hear from the Lord, and lots of big things happening in her life, and she just needs wisdom and guidance, and she sure would appreciate it if you would pray for her. Jeanette has a praise report. She has a new caregiver coming one day a week that will give her daughter one day a week off. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, meet with us today and lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, happy Monday, everybody. Glad that you're here today. If you haven't gotten a chance to listen to our Mother's Day sermon from yesterday, why don't you go to the archives and take a listen? And I think it will be a blessing for you. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, we are not prophets from the Old Testament perspective. God is not speaking to us audibly. And he is not giving us fresh revelation. We don't claim that for a minute. But if you're a Bible believer, if you have God's Holy Spirit inside you, you absolutely have fresh insight on God's revelation that is contained in the Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And Jesus clearly says in John 16, a passage for the church age, that the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. And we live in a day and age where truth has fallen in the streets, and we scarcely know what to believe. Do you remember how for 3 years Alex Jones from InfoWars relentlessly telling you that the Sandy Hook massacre was fake and nobody died? And that all the people that claimed were the victims were actually crisis actors. Now, was there some truth there? Yes. Were there crisis actors involved on some level in Sandy Hook? Yes. Did all those people die that they said died? Yes. They actually died. And when Alex Jones was brought into court and asked to prove his statements, well, he said he was just playing a character, and he admitted that, well, he actually used the temporary insanity defense and claimed that his mind was taken over and he was unable to discern reality for a 3-year period. That was his legal defense. His lawyer said he was just a character playing a part. But how many millions of people took what he said and believed it, only to find 3 years later that Alex Jones himself disavowed what he previously tried to show you was truth? So we're talking about 2,000 mules today. new movie by Dinesh D'Souza. And he's somebody that I typically, when I watch him, I may not always agree with his premise or his conclusion, but he's a very smart, very thoughtful person. Certainly not the type of person to intentionally disseminate something that was false or misleading. So I have to believe in my heart of hearts that this movie, 2,000 Mules, and we have obtained an exclusive 6-minute clip from the movie. The vast majority of you have not seen the movie yet. We're going to tell you how you can see it. And we're going to play a 6-minute clip for you, and we're going to talk about that clip. But I believe that this movie that he's created is, at the very least, he believes that it's true. And I believe that if he was brought into court over this movie, and on some levels, I kind of hope that he will be. I hope that somebody will sue him. And the reason why is because I would love to see him go to court and say, thank you for asking me to prove my claim, and here is the proof. I would love that. Because if he has the proof, as his movie claims that he does, to have that established in a court of law, that would be a blessing. That would be a record forever. That would be an amazing thing. And talking about proof and things of that nature, do you remember back in November of 2020, a lawyer by the name of Sidney Powell, she claimed that she had proof of Dominion voting booth fraud. And she said that she had so much proof that it wasn't coming in through a hose, like a water hose. She said that she had so much proof it was going to come in like through a fire hose. And if you know the difference between a garden hose and a fire hose, you understand what she was talking about. And yet, when Sidney Powell was brought in before a judge, before a court, she didn't have any proof. And she eventually conceded that while she believes that voter fraud did take place, she was unable to prove her claims. And then the whole thing collapsed, and then Dominion Voting Machine Company sued her, sued Fox News, sued a whole bunch of people. I think these lawsuits were largely symbolic. I'm not aware of any great outcome. I'm not aware of any monetary damages that were paid. But suffice to say, when she was brought to court, just like Alex Jones, she was unable to back up her rather outstanding rhetoric, shall we say. So the whole point that I'm trying to make is that we live in a day and age where there's a lot of information swirling around. People have never, ever been more connected. If you remember what the angel said to Daniel, just turn to Daniel chapter 12 for a moment. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, Matthew 24, 15. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And I said all that to say this, but thou, Daniel, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I love to study history, secular history. I've studied the first, second, and third industrial revolutions. I've studied the founding of America. I've studied the great things that took place in the 20th century. When I was a young boy, my childhood heroes were people like Thomas Edison and Tesla and the people who were the great scientists and the inventors. And I love to read about the first television broadcast and the first radio broadcast and the first telephone call. And when you look at the computer, how outstandingly complex your mobile device has become. It is based on the telegram with Morse code and the telephone. That's where the computer comes from. And I love to study history. One reason why I love to study history, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, clearly tells you that history repeats itself. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. And we think that we live in such a day and age of outstanding technological advances, and we do. And then we discover that back in the time of the pyramids, they were making batteries and hieroglyphics of unidentified flying objects and spacecrafts and fighter jets. You don't believe me? Go look it up. I've seen it. So, yes, we are living in a time of unbelievable technology, and knowledge has never been more available. And yet there is that feeling that while all this brand new stuff is going on and people are connected as they have never been before in human history, everybody is streaming, everybody's listening to a podcast or a broadcast, everybody is tuning in on their mobile devices. Talk radio has never been more popular, but podcasting is swamping talk radio. So I said all that to say that people are connected and people are listening to information. Just like Daniel said, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. But is what we're hearing, is it true or is it not true? Today we're going to talk about all these things. And the first thing we're going to talk about is 2,000 mules.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
We ain't forgot about 2020. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. 2,000 mules on a mission. 2,000 mules on a mission, rigging elections. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. 2,000 mules on a mission. 2,000 mules on a mission, rigging elections. What's up, Larry Elder? I see you fighting for my freedom. Us patriots outside, Democrats, they know they cheating. This is organized crime, true the vote, got that evidence. 242 mules and ATS still in hellish. Philly got 1,100 mules in they city. No fair or free elections in 2020. Once your watch hit 1 o'clock, they start ballot hunting. So praying to God, I know these demis always up to something. They trying to make us not pay attention with Walt Disney. Put Black Lives Matter on a basketball, they silly. They make people kneel instead of pray and act like they gay. I'm praying for all my patriots out here rocking today. You know it's 1776, got them choppers in them sticks. I'ma die alone, was born alone, I'm the mayor of this shit. They still talking about January, what about them Portland hits? That was all part of the plan, they still blaming Uncle Sam. Damn. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes.
Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. 2,000 mules on a mission. 2,000 mules on a mission, rigging elections. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. 2,000 mules on a mission. 2,000 mules on a mission, rigging elections.
I pray every American keeps faith. It's the mayor of Magaville, baby. I want everyone to keep faith. Big Trump coming home. They ruined the integrity with that election. Illegitimate president. 46. Who gets no love, no respect. Trump 2024.
Mules. You may be asking, what is a mule? Well, according to the movie, a mule is a person that takes phony ballots that have been filled out in favor of the candidate that they are working to see get elected, and they drive under the cover of darkness. And they deposit stacks of these ballots into ballot boxes. And that's what a mule is, just in case you were wondering what a mule is. They are responsible for delivering the phony ballots. So the question is, could such a thing have actually happened? Well, absolutely. Could it have happened? I believe it did happen. I believe that the election was absolutely influenced to a very, very high degree. I believe the election was stolen on some level. I have believed that the entire time. I continue to believe that over 14 months later. But the question is how did they do it? Well, one of the ways that they did it, Mark Zuckerberg spent $419 million on nonprofits ahead of the 2020 election. And this article from the New York Post says, during the election, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg spent hundreds of millions of dollars to turn out likely Democratic voters. But this wasn't traditional political spending, says the New York Post. He funded a targeted private takeover of government election operations by nominally nonpartisan but demonstrably ideological nonprofit organizations. So what is the New York Post saying? The Post is saying that Mark Zuckerberg spent just under $500 million and he put people in place that would influence the operation of local government elections. Analysis conducted demonstrates that this money significantly increased Joe Biden's vote margin in key swing states, in places like Georgia, where Biden won by 12,000 votes, and Arizona, where he won by only 10,000 votes. The spending by Zuckerberg likely put him over the top. This unprecedented merger of public election officials and offices with private resources and personnel is an acute threat to our republic and should be the focus of electoral reform efforts moving forward. The New York Post concludes the 2020 election wasn't so much stolen as it was purchased by wealthy and powerful people like Mark Zuckerberg, exploiting legal loopholes. The Center for Technology and Civic Life and the Center for Election Innovation and Research passed a staggering $419.5 million of Zuckerberg's money into local government election offices, and it came with strings attached. Every CTCL and CEIR grant spelled out in great detail the conditions under which the grant money was to be used. Now, the Post goes on to say that these two organizations, CTCL and CEIR, created by Zuckerberg, had nothing to do with traditional campaign finance, lobbying, or other expenses that are related to the modern election day process. But it had to do with financing the infiltration of election offices at the city and county level by left-wing activists and using those offices as a platform to implement preferred administrative practices, voting methods, and data sharing agreements, as well as to launch intensive outreach campaigns in areas heavy with Democrat voters. Now, that to me is a very common sense, logical, sound take on one of the ways that the election was stolen. The New York Post says, well, don't think of it like something that was stolen. The New York Post says, think of it like something that was bought, something that was purchased. If you like to study early 20th century history, then you know that back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, when the immigrants like my grandfather, Henry Murphy, who came over from Glasgow, Scotland in 1922, when those immigrants came over here and got off the boat on Ellis Island, they invariably came across politicians from something that was called Tammany Hall. And if you're ever bored and you want to look up a fascinating but corrupt part of the early 20th century history of New York City, go and look at what Tammany Hall was and how it exploited the immigrants coming off the boat. And it created a very, very corrupt system of government in New York City. And it was all based on who had the money and who paid off who. And if you had enough money, you could put that money into somebody's pocket and you could get the desired result that you were looking for. Well, that's exactly what the New York Post said that Mark Zuckerberg did last year. He took $500 million. He created two bogus NGO groups. NGO stands for non-government organization. And he used his massive amounts of money, just like the people 100 years ago who wanted to change the laws of New York City to make it favorable to their cause. And they would put their money into the pockets of the corrupt judges and the corrupt police officers and the corrupt politicians of New York City, who could easily be bought for the right price. And then these people, whoever they may be, whoever had the money, they got the desired result that they were looking for. So, in our ongoing desire to make sure that when we look at conspiracy theory, we are looking at it truthfully, and we're not following every shadow and every glint of light that leads you off on some crazy QAnon rabbit trail. And one of the things that we like to do at Now the End Begins is we like to compare scripture with scripture, obviously. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, as we did earlier. And when we begin to study these things, we have to have a critical eye. Not every conspiracy theory that you hear about is going to be true. Now, many of them will be true. In fact, maybe most of them will wind up being true. But some of them will not be. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I took a little bit of heat because I did not like the Watch the Water video. I didn't think that those two people, Stu Peters and Dr. whatever his name is, the chiropractor, I didn't feel that they were telling me the truth. And I took a little bit of heat, and some people were upset that I thought the Watch the Water video was mostly fraudulent. And I still feel that way 2-3 weeks later. Not everything that you hear is true. And if you're born again, if you're saved, you have that Holy Spirit living inside you. So before we start to talk about 2,000 mules today, we got to know what the truth is. We can't be, the Bible says, don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. And the Bible is very, very clear that we are to have discernment. Paul says in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't believe everything you hear. Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, don't believe everything that you hear. Don't do it. Be critical. And this is what we try to do here at NowTheEndBegins.com. And that is why, one reason why, this is our 13th year and we've never issued a retraction. Because we really try to let the Holy Spirit determine what we talk about. And there are times when I am first exposed to something, I can feel myself being sucked down into it. And I got to put the brakes on and I say, hold on a second before I just throw myself into whatever this thing is. I need to find out if it's true, if it's true or not. You know, one of the things that really bothered me, and I'll get to this 2,000 mules thing in a second, but one of the things that really, really bothered me back at the beginning of the pandemic, and QAnon was doing all their nonsense and talking about the biggest pile of crap you ever heard, and I began to hear pastors across America begin to repeat the QAnon talking points from the pulpit. And that was shameful. And one reason why, I believe, is that people began to get caught up in all the excitement that was going on. And it sounded right, but it wasn't right. And I lost friendships over that. Because I refused to believe the lie of QAnon. That has nothing to do with how I feel about who I'm voting for president or anything like that. But when I studied the claims of QAnon, they were a big fat bunch of liars. And it was sad to me to see so many Christians get fooled by that garbage. And I said it was garbage a year ago, 2 years ago. And when I wrote those articles exposing QAnon, I took some heat for that too. You know, there's an old expression, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Well, guess what? I love the kitchen. And I feel right at home in the kitchen. So you can crank up the heat as high as you want it to go. And I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, you lead me, you guide me, you show me what the truth is. And that's what we need to do. Not to be carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of hand and the cunning craftiness of people who lie in wait to deceive you. I said at the start of this program that when I listen to Dinesh D'Souza, I mostly agree with what the man says. And he has made this movie, and in this movie, he is not giving you a conclusion. He is asking a question. And he is asking the question, is it possible that there was a system of mules who took phony ballots, and in these five states that were the states responsible for swinging the election over to Joe Biden, the same five states, mind you, that Mark Zuckerberg spent $419 million to influence, Dinesh D'Souza asks the question, is it possible that 2,000 mules changed the course of American history? And with that, let's listen to this clip that we have. 6-minute clip, and I'm just going to let it play. I'm going to try very hard not to stop it and jump in with comment. But let's take a listen to 2,000 Mules Reveals Massive Voter Fraud in 2020 Election. Take a listen to this.
Again, the 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Period.
This same side accuses anyone who disagrees with them of perpetrating a
big lie or the big delusion.
The big lie keeps getting repeated.
The big lie is just that, a big lie.
These techniques are used every single day by law enforcement. Across the country, we bought 10 trillion signals.
So what was the criterion that you set?
Final decision was they had to have been to 10 or more drop boxes, meaning unique visits inside of a space, and 5 or more visits to one or more of these organizations.
Let's identify a large number of drop boxes and multiple trips, and that way we're going to catch not all the offenders, right, but the worst offenders. What is a mule?
A mule is, by our definition, a person that is involved in picking up ballots from locations and running them to the drop boxes. So you have the collectors on the one hand, you have the stash houses, which are the nonprofits, and then you have the mules that are doing the drops.
Zoom in here. So the mule is the delivery man.
The mule is a delivery
woman. And what you're saying is they have a starting point or multiple starting points, and then they have the end point. And the end point is the drop box.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
But you're saying that they get the ballots from somewhere, and then they go deposit them in multiple drop boxes.
What you see here on the screen is a single person on a single day in Atlanta, Georgia. They went to 28 drop boxes in 5 organizations in one day.
What are the orange dots?
Those are drop boxes.
And what is the blue tracks?
That is a smoothed out pattern of life so that we could take the sort of the movement of the individual cell phone signals, marry them together into something that's visual.
I think it was Pennsylvania that really gave Biden the election.
Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules at rates well beyond anything we'd seen. Closer to 50 drop boxes each.
Each guy going to 50 drop boxes?
Each. 1,100. We saw people driving back and forth to New Jersey across the bridge.
You're saying the ballots may not even be from Philadelphia or from Pennsylvania.
Well, we're saying somebody should investigate.
But you're saying that the origin point appears to be Jersey. It's one thing to have the scientific evidence, which is persuasive on its own merits, but do you have video evidence?
We do.
How much of it do you have?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
So I'll just stop that right there for a second. I held out for 3.5 minutes. That's pretty good. So what the movie is saying is that people using surveillance software and hardware, like what the Pentagon and the CIA and the FBI use, they were able to track down the patterns of these 2,000 mules, and using video, you just heard the guy say that he has 4 million minutes of videotaped evidence of these 2,000 mules taking the phony ballots and putting them into the ballot boxes under the cover of darkness. Now, you remember during the election, if you were watching, as most of us were, you remember that somewhere around 11:10, 11:15 Eastern Standard Time, you remember that these states that are in question, they began to shut down, and they would not allow the Republican overseers and the vote counters to be in the same room where the votes were being counted. I remember when that was taking place. And in my opinion, that's the moment where everything began to change, and that's the moment where they said, okay, we're going to make our move. Now, start shutting down these key locations, kick out the Republican overseers, don't let them watch what's going on. And I can remember watching that on election night, and I got so mad, I almost threw something at my own monitor, because I screamed out, they're stealing the election. And just about everybody else felt the same way. You felt that way. I felt that way. And if you were watching that election taking place, all the commentators were dumbfounded that these various polling places just began to shut down. They began to turn their lights off. And then they went into darkness until about 8 o'clock the next morning. Well, Time Magazine, and we reported this to you on February 5th of 2021. Time Magazine, headline cover story, a secret well-funded cabal worked to protect the 2020 election. The article by Molly Ball, titled The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election, presents the effort as a heroic effort to preserve a free and fair election and to fend off Donald Trump's anticipated claims of fraud. This is what the Time Magazine article said. Their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change the voting systems and laws and secured hundreds of millions in public and private funding. They successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation and used data-driven strategies to fight viral smears. What does that mean? Time Magazine was telling you that they use censorship to stop people from speaking the truth and to ban people when they told the truth. Let me go to my Facebook page just for a moment. Some of you follow me on Facebook, some of you don't. I've had this same Facebook page since 2010. And right under my picture, I see account restricted. Let me click on it. You cannot post or comment for 31 hours. Well, that's not so bad. Just one day and 6 hours and I can comment again. But let me click on the CY button. Multiple posts that you posted from last year, they didn't follow our community standards. And what did I post about? I told you about the healthcare worker in Minnesota named Jumai Nachi, who lost her arms and legs as a result of getting vaccinated. She got blood clots and she became a quadriplegic after becoming vaccinated. And I wrote about that on August 8th of 2021. And I got a suspension for that. And if you look at all the things that I've been suspended for, And in 31 hours, my latest 30-day suspension will be over. But it's only going to be a matter of days before they suspend me again. And what are they doing? They're silencing people who tell you the truth. Now back to this article by Molly Ball in Time magazine. She says, that's why the participants want the secret history of the 2020 election, even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream. A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules, change laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. Molly Ball says they weren't rigging the election. They were fortifying the election. And how were they doing it? By shutting down people who told the truth.
I believe it was the state of Georgia saying this video does not exist and we can't tell you why it doesn't exist.
Right, that was in Fulton County. We have correspondence like that from a lot of states. In the absence of video, and that geospatial data is key to decoding, you know, what the greater scheme was. But in the
And so these are the kind of things. 4 million minutes of this. This was an organized effort to subvert a free and fair election. This is organized crime.
This is an organized effort to subvert a free and fair election. But isn't that what Molly Ball wrote in the cover story for Time magazine? Didn't I just read to you her quote? A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules, change laws, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what they admitted to last year. And that's exactly what 2,000 Mules is telling you right now.
You can't look at this data in its aggregate and believe anything otherwise.
Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking in these key swing states enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election? Georgia, 250 mules, averaging 24 Dropbox visits and 5 illegal ballots per drop. That's 30,000 illegally trafficked votes, far more than the 12,000 vote difference between Trump and Biden. So Georgia, with 16 electoral votes, moves over into the Trump column. In Arizona, the numbers are roughly the same. 200 mules, averaging 20 Dropbox visits and 5 illegal ballots per drop. That's 20,000 illegal votes. Again, these illegal votes are substantially more than the 10,000 vote margin that gave the state's 11 electoral votes to Biden.
Now, do I believe what you're hearing right now? Do I believe that that could be true? I absolutely do. Everything that you're hearing in this clip, this is a clip from 2,000 Mules. Everything that I've played so far over the last 4 minutes, I haven't heard one thing that they've said that I would think, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound true. Everything that they're saying to me sounds extremely plausible. And then when you add that to the Time magazine cover story about the secret cabal that put Joe Biden into office, well, as far as I'm concerned, you really kind of have a slam dunk case. Now, somebody asked in the chat room just a few minutes ago, and sometimes it's hard for me to follow the chat room and and talk at the same time. But somebody asked in the chat room just a few minutes ago, will people ever be brought to justice? Well, that's a much harder question to answer. Because the only way people are going to be brought to justice is when somebody is willing to step outside of the system, whether they're Democrat or Republican, Somebody has to be willing to step outside of the system and say, wait a second, that's not true. We've got to investigate that. Rand Paul is one of those people. Ted Cruz on a good day is one of those people. But if you look at the people that we have put into power in Washington, D.C., you really don't have a whole lot of people who are willing to break away from the government taxpayer teat that they feed off of and stand up for the truth. You don't have a whole lot of people who are willing to do that. When this clip is over, I want to talk about something called the Transition Integrity Project. It's a group that was created by George Soros, and it was part of what put Joe Biden into office, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania alone, 1,100 mules, averaging 50 Dropbox visits and 5 ballots per visit. That's 275,000 illegal votes, again, comfortably exceeding the 80,000 vote margin between Trump and Biden. So Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes goes for Trump. Shockingly, even this narrow way of looking at just our 2,000 mules in these swing states gives Trump the win, with 279 electoral votes to Biden's 259. But no one thinks that our 2,000 mules were the only mules trafficking illegal votes. To widen the search, Greg and his team lowered the criterion from 10 or more to 5 or more drop boxes. This revealed a huge upsurge in the number of mules from 2,000 to 54,000. 54,000 mules. Next, they used a very conservative estimate of just 3 ballots per drop box visit. Now, when we multiply this increased number of mules times the 5 Dropbox visits per mule times just 3 illegal votes per drop, we find election fraud on an astonishing scale. In Wisconsin, 83,565 illegal votes were trafficked. In Georgia, 92,670. In Pennsylvania, 209,505. In Michigan, 226,590. And in Arizona, 207,435. Using this calculus, Trump would have won all the key states. And the final electoral vote, 305 to 233.
So there you have a 6-minute snippet from the movie 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza. And I haven't seen the whole movie yet. I've only watched that clip. But to me, it's fairly exciting. And everything that I just played for you in that clip, there's not one thing that stands out to me as something that's not true, or at the very least, something that could not be true. But now, let's talk for just a moment about, will anybody ever, let's just assume that everything in 2,000 Mules is true. Is somebody going to bring that to court? Is somebody going to stand up and say, hey, we need to investigate this? Well, you remember what happened back in 2012, 2013, when Andrew Breitbart, a rising media star at the time, he claimed to have received video proof that Barack Obama was a communist, and he was going to play this video proof, and he named the day that he was going to play it. But just about 12 hours before he could release what he had, he mysteriously died of a heart attack. Now, if you've been a longtime listener of Now the End Begins, you remember that we had a man on our program back in 2013, a man by the name of Jim Garrow. And Jim Garrow, fascinating figure. He claimed to have been a 40-year secret operative for the CIA, And he came on the program and he said that Andrew Breitbart was murdered with a heart attack gun. And he knew the people that did it. And it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating, when Jim Garrow, he's kind of faded from public view. I have lost touch with him. But back on March 2nd of 2012, we did an article. Andrew Breitbart died on the very day he said he was to release videos on Barack Obama. And the article says, in a stunning coincidence, it appears that Andrew Breitbart suffered his untimely death just hours before he was set to release damning video footage that could have sunk Barack Obama's 2012 re-election campaign. Around 3 weeks ago on March 9th, during the Blog Bash event in Washington, Andrew Breitbart made a prophetic comment that takes on a somewhat chilling nature, given the fact that he died in the early hours of March 1st. Speaking to Lawrence Sinclair of Sinclair News, he said, "Wait till they see what happens on March 1st. Breitbart said, "I have video from his college days that will show you why racial division and class warfare are central to the hope and change that was sold in 2008. And Breitbart says the videos are going to come out. Well, guess what happened? Surprise, surprise. Andrew Breitbart dies 12 hours before he was going to release those videos. So, if we ask the question, is anybody going to act on what's in 2,000 mules, and is that ever going to come before a judge, or is any... No, probably not. It would be great, and I would love it. I would support it. I would promote it. I would love to see this brought to a court of law with people putting their hands on a Bible and having to risk committing perjury. But would something like this ever get to court? It's not likely. Don't hold your breath. Watch the movie. And this is how he says that you can watch 2,000 Mules.
It's so exciting with the movie right around the corner. Basically, next week is our premiere week. And I kind of want to go over some ways in which you can watch the movie. And I also hope that you'll help us get the word out about the movie. Remember, we're releasing this movie in a very novel way because we're in an age of censorship. And so the normal places that I put movies, which is you find them in Apple, iTunes, and Amazon Prime. No, this movie is not going to be available in those ways. Now, it is in limited theaters, 300 or so theaters, and you can go to the website, 2000mules.com, put in your state, it'll tell you the theaters. Now, a lot of our theaters are filling up really fast, so if you want to see this movie in the theater, kind of act now. But don't be disappointed if you can't, because we might do another one-day theatrical a little later in the month. And moreover, there is a virtual premiere. A virtual premiere is basically an in-home premiere. So what do? You buy a ticket, you're sent an access code, you log in, you click on the access code, and this is all happening on Saturday, May 7th, at 8 p.m. Eastern. And it's fantastic. There'll be an introductory program. Debbie's actually going to sing live, then we're going to show the movie, and then there's a live Q&A with some of the key figures in the movie. So this is actually a full program, an exciting program out of a magnificent 360-degree round studio in Las Vegas. We'll be there in person. You'll be watching online, and it's for the same price as a movie ticket. It's a fantastic deal. So if you go on the website, just you'll see the little tab for virtual premiere. Click on that. By the way, a small number of people can be there in person.
All right. So there you have Dinesh telling you how you can watch the movie. And you can go to YouTube and just type in how to watch 2,000 Mules, and you'll get access to that video. And there will be a link in that video in the description, which will tell you how you can pay to watch 2,000 Mules. And I hope that this 6-minute clip that we just played for you kind of whet your appetite. And I will be watching it later. And I highly recommend, if you can afford to watch it. And he says it's only the price of a movie ticket. But definitely you should watch this movie. I am expecting big things from it. Yahoo Finance says his new movie, 2000 Mules, which launched on Saturday, May 7th, grossed more than $1 million in less than 12 hours on the video streaming platform Rumble and its subscription-based platform Locals. The movie's gross sales on Rumble and Locals, which began on Saturday, are good enough to put 2000 Mules in the estimated box office top 10 for the weekend of May 6th and to May 8th. So, check out 2000 Mules. I will be watching it later, and I'm expecting big things from it. Now, Cheryl says, I already know what happened, and since they keep getting away with it, I'm not wasting my time. Well, amen, sister. I can kind of agree with you there, but I'm going to watch it just because I'm a curious person, and the movie looks very well done, and at the very least, I'll learn something new, so I'm always up to learn something new. Now, what comes next of what we need to talk about? Joe Biden has created something called, and in light of everything that we're saying with 2000 Mules, in light of everything with that article by Molly Ball from Time Magazine about the cabal that was created to influence the election, to save the election, in light of the fact that Mark Zuckerberg spent $500 million to change local election practices around the country, don't you find it especially creepy and chilling that the Biden government actually created this thing called the Disinformation Governance Board? Isn't that a crazy thing? Doesn't that sound like it's lifted right from George Orwell's 1984? Doesn't it sound like it's lifted right from, I don't know, Nazi Germany? The Disinformation Governance Board. Let's take a listen to this.
The Biden administration is facing fierce backlash for convening a group called the Disinformation Governance Board.
How are we ever going to come to an agreement on what is disinformation so you can police it on social media?
Homeland Security recently rolled out the board, giving few details on how it will function, saying it will examine disinformation about threats, but will not have operational power and will not monitor U.S. citizens. Civil liberties advocates are questioning the idea.
We can't even agree what disinformation is.
This is on Wednesday.
Just make a note to yourself. Anytime you hear any group, and I don't care what group it is, and they start telling you, you don't have to worry, we won't be tracking your personal information, they are absolutely tracking your personal information. There is no question about it.
Republican lawmakers pressed Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, calling for the disinformation group to be disbanded, some dubbing it the truth police.
I think it's a terrible idea. It communicates to the world that we're going to be spreading propaganda within our country. It's an awful idea.
Mayorkas disagreed, saying the group will not infringe on freedom of speech or privacy rights. He says fighting disinformation is vital to protecting the homeland.
We become involved when disinformation poses a threat to the security of our country.
But who is it that decides what's truth and what's disinformation? Do you realize that the very same people who tell you that men can menstruate and that men can give birth, those are the very same people that claim to be fighting disinformation? What could possibly be more disinformative than telling people that men could give birth? What could be a bigger fiction than the idea that men can menstruate? And yet these are the people that tell you that they that they are fighting disinformation.
Senator Shelley Moore Capito called the disinformation board Orwellian.
Now is a good time to abandon this ludicrous and much maligned idea. I wonder, you know, when you say that we have operational control of the border, is that definitionally disinformation? Because from a lot of our perspectives, we don't believe that is true.
The White House says the board will focus only on threats and will be apolitical.
Yeah. Well, guess what? The board is the threat, and the board is absolutely political, driving home the far left, progressive, liberal perspective. And yet, this is an actual thing that Joe Biden has created called the Disinformation Governance Board. So let's take a listen to some of the previous rantings and ramblings from the woman who's the second in command on the Disinformation Governance Board. Take a listen to this.
You're absolutely right. Critical race theory has become one of those hot button issues that the Republicans and other, you know, disinformers who are engaged in disinformation for profit, frankly, there are plenty of, you know, media outlets that are making money off of this too, have seized on. And I live in Virginia, and in Loudoun County, that's one of the areas where people have really honed in on this topic. But it's no different than any of the other hot button issues that, you know, allow disinformation to flourish. It's you know, weaponizing people's emotion.
Let's talk about education more broadly. You oppose critical race theory being taught in schools, which I should say is not part of Virginia's curriculum.
I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in. So, you know, it's semantics, but it's weaved in.
Glenn Youngkin won his race because he talked about issues. And I think that's what's going to happen. What we're going to see is, just like in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe wanted to say, oh, there was nothing about critical race theory. We know it's true.
It's not in the curriculum.
Showed up because they don't like being lied to.
Just to be clear, it's not in the curriculum in Virginia. Brianna,
would you like me to? Here, let me just read you a few things. In 2015, while Terry McAuliffe was governor, the Virginia Department of Education promoted incorporating a critical race theory lens in education. You can still find it on the Department of Education's website, still there.
So there you have a little clip on the people from Joe Biden's Disinformation Governance Board. They were talking about critical race theory being taught in schools. You know, here's a fun fact for you. Back as far back as 2014, some of you may remember this, there was a huge push to change the public school curriculum. And what they wanted to change it into was something that they called Common Core. And that goes all the way back 6, 7, 8 years ago. You know who one of the main financial backers of Common Core was? Bill Gates. You can go ahead and Google that. Bill Gates and Common Core. But all of these things have been put in place for the time that we find ourselves in now. And if you go back and spend some time in the archives of NowTheEndBegins.com, you will see that year after year, 2014, 2015, 2018, 2019, everything, every step along the way was set up. And when you got to 2019, what did you find? You found something called Event 201. Where they just happened to, and again, Bill Gates financed the whole thing. He spent $65 million on the Event 201. And Bill Gates put this thing together. They wanted to war game the idea. What would it be like if there was a worldwide coronavirus outbreak? And all of a sudden, lo and behold, in an amazing coincidence, there was a worldwide coronavirus outbreak. In America, a million people have died. Around the world, it's coming up on 6 million people have died. And I checked the stats over the weekend, and here in St. John's County in Florida, COVID rates have gone up 200% since last week. Let me just pull up these. All you have to do is just go to Google and type in COVID rates, R-A-T-E-S, and that will pull up the COVID rates where you live. And from April 25th to May 8th, there was 445 cases of COVID here in St. John's County, but a week before, there was only 145. So COVID once again seems to be trending back up, and I really don't think that we have seen the last of that. I really, really don't. I think COVID's going to come back at least one more round, and that would be the fifth outbreak. And when you study the Bible, number five is the number for death and judgment. Adolf Hitler's ID card was 555. So from my way of thinking, we got to have one more round of COVID. And it looks like it's starting to flare back up again, but we'll keep an eye on it. And we'll let you know if that progresses into something that you should be concerned about. Tucker Carlson is the most popular man on cable news. Every single night, 3 million people tune in to listen to him. I'm not one of those people because I don't watch Fox News, but I do listen to his clips on YouTube. And there's very few things that Tucker says that I do not agree with. I agree with the vast majority of what he says. But I want you to listen to just a minute or two of this clip from, I can't remember if it's PBS or NPR, same thing really, talking about the influence of Tucker Carlson and his increasingly extreme views. Take a listen to this.
Every night, more than 3 million people tune in to Tucker Carlson's show on the Fox News Channel. It is the most watched cable news show. Last year it was. A new analysis from the New York Times explores how Carlson is using his platform. Amna Nawaz has more.
Judy, as the New York Times describes it, for the past 5 years and more than 1,100 hours of TV, Carlson's rating success has been built by weaponizing fears and grievances of his audience to create, quote, what may be the most racist show in the history of cable news. To help explain Carlson's influence, Nick Confessori joins us. He's a political and investigative reporter at the New York Times and the author of that assessment. Nick, welcome back to the NewsHour. Thanks for making the time. I think it's fair to say part of Mr. Carlson's rating success is built on leaning into sort of an us versus them narrative. He seems to relish the fight and the criticism and attention, so much so, in fact, when your articles came out, he tweeted a photo of himself sort of gleefully holding up the front page of the New York Times. I guess my first question is, why devote so much time and energy to him? Are you worried at all about feeding that narrative?
It's a great question, Amna. Look, he's a singularly important person in the modern right now. He's the inheritor of the MAGA tradition, or the nativist tradition, that Donald Trump seized and rode to the White House. He's the highest rated cable show host in history. And it's also the most racist show in history. He has done something that no other host has ever done. And I'm not saying that lightly. It's a big claim, and I'll tell you what it's based on. Every night, that show teaches fear and loathing. He may claim to be a person who opposes racism and prejudice, but what the show tells you every night is to be afraid. To be afraid of people who are in the street asking for police officers to not shoot black people. Be afraid of Afghan refugees who helped us in the war who are coming over here now. To be afraid of Dr. Fauci, and to be afraid of immigration in general, which he posits is part of a cabal, a plot to destroy Western civilization.
You know, Nick, it's interesting because these have not always been his views. We should remind folks he's had a long history, a long career in television. He's been through multiple networks. He had a show.
So there you have the liberals telling you that Tucker Carlson is a racist right-wing extremist. And what he wants to do is he wants to make you afraid. Well, let's go back to the summer of 2020. And let's listen to what soon-to-be Vice President Kamala Harris had to say about the $2 billion in riots that were going on across America that would see two people get raped and over 20 people murdered by Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorists. Let's listen to what Kamala Harris said about those riots.
Clear that I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had for the first few weeks.
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
So there you have Kamala Harris, who was about to be the Vice President of the United States. And she was on the Stephen Colbert Show, which is watched by a fairly large audience of people. And what was she doing? She was flat out telling the American public that the riots are not going to stop and you should be afraid and you should watch out for that because the riots are going to come to your town and they're not going to go away. Here's a fun fact for you. One of the very first people that was murdered during the Summer of Blood with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots, one of the very first people that was killed by Black Lives Matter was a retired police officer by the name of David Dorn. David Dorn was a 65-year-old black man, and he was a former chief of police. And a friend of his owned a pawn shop. David Dorn retired from the St. Louis police force, and he spent over 40 years putting his life on the line every day for the people of his community in St. Louis. David Dorn was a black man. David Dorn was gunned down and left to die alone in a pool of his own blood. Now, who killed David Dorn? Seven Black Lives Matter looters. That's who. So one of the very, very first people who was murdered during the 2020 Summer of Blood was a black man by the name of David Dorn. And he was murdered by Black Lives Matter. And yet, you and I are told that we need to be afraid of Tucker Carlson and his extremist racist views. Kamala Harris, before she became vice president, said the riots aren't going to stop. They're not going to go away. You have no choice in the matter. They're not going to stop. They should not stop. And it went from one, two, three people to a dozen people to over two dozen people were murdered in the 2020 Summer of Blood. And two women were raped. And that's what the left does. That's what the liberals do. So, in conclusion, we're talking about 2,000 mules today. Could it be true? Absolutely. Is it true? Highly likely. Will it bring about any type of change? No. People get mad when I point out that Donald Trump could have fired Anthony Fauci, and he never did. People get mad when I point out that Julian Assange is the man that was probably responsible for putting Donald Trump into office from a human perspective by releasing that dump load of emails about the Clinton campaign. And Donald Trump, with a stroke of his pen, could have easily pardoned Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. But he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Why didn't he fire Anthony Fauci? So, sadly, if you're expecting the revelation of truth to bring about great change in America, people right now, they're talking about the red wave that's going to take place in 2022 in November. And there may be a red wave. I know that if Ron DeSantis runs for governor, I'm absolutely going to vote for Ron DeSantis. And everybody I know in St. Johns County in Florida feels the same way. Ron DeSantis, he's probably going to win by the largest landslide in Florida history. So is there going to be a red wave? Yeah, probably. There was a red wave back in 2016, if you remember. That didn't get the wall built. So if you're expecting that by digging for truth, it's going to bring about change, well, I hate to disappoint you, but it's not going to bring about change. And the reason it's not going to bring about change is that we are living in the end times prophesied in the Bible. And the things that we have been watching since the start of 2020, they really have to do with the New World Order and the coming Antichrist, and how an unsaved world is preparing itself to receive Antichrist. That's what's coming. The rapture is coming, and we're getting out of here. The man of sin is about to be revealed. I went to Emmanuel Macron's Twitter feed today, where he was calling for this revolution to take place in Europe. And I went to his tweet, and right under that tweet, I said, look, I know you're the man of sin. You know that you're the man of sin. Why don't you just get busy and let's get this thing done? And then I posted a link to the article that we did about him being the Assyrian. And I put it right on his Twitter feed today. And people from France started messaging me. What does that mean? What are you talking about? That's what's coming. The rapture is coming. The Antichrist is coming. The New World Order is already here. You know what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3? Just turn there for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's just take a look. Starting in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, Revelation 19, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, Revelation 20. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, Revelation 20. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, Revelation 20, shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, Revelation 21, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth and new Jerusalem, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know what we're supposed to be doing while we wait? We're supposed to be busy preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God to a lost and dying world. I told you last week that we sent out 12,000 Ukrainian New Testaments to Ukrainian nationals and pastors living in Poland. 12,000 Ukrainian New Testaments. And we did it because you guys made it possible. This is what we're supposed to be doing while we wait. And because you contribute to our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, we are coming up on 25,000 Bibles that we've handed out this year. Last year, we handed out 11,411. We are not even at the halfway point of this year, and we've handed out almost 25,000 already. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be busy about our Father's business. So it's fun to watch 2,000 mules, and it's fun to look at the news, and it's fun to see how close we are. But I'll be honest with you, nothing is going to change because it can't change. Because we are living in a time that the Bible said would be the last days. And here we are. Now, either you're trying to get something done for the Lord, or you're sitting back and doing nothing. If I were you, I would be looking to be as busy as I possibly could to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ before we are called up and out of here on flight 777. If you're planning on coming to the camp meeting, please go to BibleBeliever.com and register. It is in less than 2 weeks. Actually, not this Friday, but next Friday is the start of our camp meeting weekend. Friday is free, and Sunday is free. But if you want to come for the actual camp meeting on Saturday with the barbecue lunch, you got to register and you got to pay. Very expensive to put these things on. So if you're thinking about coming to the camp meeting, you really need to go to BibleBeliever.com, click on the link, and register. And I very, very much hope to see you guys there. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I hope this program was informative. I hope it was a blessing for you. And I hope that the things that we talk about didn't discourage you, but encourages you to get in the fight. C.T. Studd said, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." And what do we say? We say, the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. To the fight! Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
Followers are in mourning for him. happening.